Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many in here love Jesus? Let's just stand up and praise him. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him right now. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. Lord, we magnify your holy name, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for supplying all of our needs, Father. Lord, we just praise you and give you all the glory and all the honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this day. Even though it's cold out, we thank you. For I even know that the cold has got a purpose in this world. And Lord, we give this morning to you. We ask that your anointing flow through each one of us this morning. Let your word touch our lives, challenge us, prepare us for the times that we live in. And we thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Ignite. I like that name, huh? Ignite. Whew. Hallelujah. Boy, Jeremiah had that fire. You know, didn't our hearts burn within us, the disciples said. Huh? There's a burning, there's igniting, and that's what we need today. We need to be ignited in our spirits with the fire of the Holy Spirit. We're living in a time where we need to be on fire for God. Amen? Characteristics of a revival people. You know something? I personally believe something big is going to happen in America in the near future. I don't know what that is right now. Kind of got a thought on it. But I believe it's going to shake the foundation of this nation. And I believe the Lord will show himself through the truly born-again believers, the remnant throughout this world. And I believe it's going to happen. That's what we are preparing. See, the church is meant to disciple people to go out and to win the lost. This is a place where you can come in and get saved too. But really, it's out there. And I believe through the years, even the years we've been here so far, God has used his word to help us to maintain, to stay close to him, to grow in him, to be used when this things happen as we see events happening in our world. And I tell you what, people, we need to be alive spiritually. How many in here, don't raise hands. How many in here today are spiritually dead? Or are you spiritually alive? You have to answer that question. Do you have a heart for God? Do you have a thirst and a zeal to go out and to live the life in front of people, to stand up for what you believe in the hour in what we live? Is there a fire burning within you that you can't wait to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Amen? There's somebody out there that is waiting to hear the word of God. And you got to have that fire burning within you so that when you share it, that fire will ignite them and they'll be on fire for God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm in a different sermon. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, our world needs people who are fired up by the Spirit of God, don't we? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. These empty chairs in here, God knows who's going to be sitting in them. God knows. Don't be dismayed. God's not interested in whether that we got every chair filled. He's interested in if he's got every heart filled. Amen? Amen? That's what it, because look at 12 guys did in the whole world. They turned this world upside down. Don't get focused on numbers. Even when Sandra is up here, the children that we've had come through Crossfire since we've been a church excites me because some of them have grown up and left, and some of them are here, and their team, we got, there's one right there smiling at me. That were little babies, and now they're teenagers, and they've been taught the word of God from day one at Crossfire Assembly. And that one person can have an impact on the world that they go out to when they leave Crossfire someday, if they move away from this area. So we need to continue to pray, like Sandra said, for the youth in this church, whether it's 1 or 10 or 1,000, we need to be praying for them. Amen. We need to have a heart for God's people and a heart not to despise small beginnings, but to realize God can work in the small as well as in the large. Amen. Amen. So the Bible speaks of the fullness of the earth. the fullness of joy, the fullness of God's house, the fullness of the sea, the fullness of wickedness, the fullness of the church, fullness of time, fullness of grace, among others when you get into the Word of God, the fullness of. And there is a fullness of the things as it relates to Christ, and there's also a fullness of the time of wickedness that we're living in right now too. The Bible tells us in the last days, those who are righteous will grow into fullness of Christ. That's exciting to me. That's if we stay on the course, steadfast in our faith. In other words, they will embody his fullness, his holiness, his power, and his anointing. That's what we will embody as we pursue the things of Christ. But there will be those that are so evil, they will embody the fullness of wickedness within them. The Bible says in the last days, the righteous will become more righteous and the wicked will become more wicked. Listen to Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The word filthy still, the word still here is also, if you go into your concordances, translated more, more. Just think, the person who dies in their sin will go into an eternal hell. How are you living your life when you at the moment of your death? Scary, isn't it? That is, those who refuse the righteousness of Christ in this life will not show regret, nor will they show repentance when consigned to hell in the future life, but will increase in ungodliness, in ugliness instead. And people, we are literally seeing that before our very eyes on television today with the things that are being said and done. On the other hand, those that are righteous will continue to grow in grace. Praise the Lord. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that will go on and on and on. Because do you think you're going to know everything about God when we get face to face with him? I don't think so. I think he's going to reveal things to us. It's going to be exciting. We're going to learn more and more and more as we live with our Lord and Savior. But it speaks of the fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Who's going to show us the path of life? In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's the Lord. It's his word. He's going to show us the path of life. Amen? So we have not entered into the fullness of joy and the fullness of God's blessings until we've entered in to the fullness of Christ. And there is a fullness that the church is going to experience, I believe, before Jesus comes back. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we all come into unity. Until we all come into unity. See, I'm excited that this could be the generation that will experience God's fullness. We could be it. Something is about to break upon this earth. And you are going to be part of God's great plan if you're in the right place. Amen? Yeah. Where's your heart with the Lord? Are you on fire for God? Yes, we are. Or are we lukewarm, where we're just kind of complacent? We just, things don't move us. A person getting saved just doesn't move us anymore. Are we just complacent? We don't really care where we send our children. Whether it's in a church that doesn't even preach the gospel and we don't care, we're complacent. Do you have a fire and a burning in you to say, I want to know all I can about the Lord Jesus Christ while I'm here and on this earth, and I want my children to follow suit. I want them to hear the word of God because it's the word of God that burns within us. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. The Bible also speaks about the fullness of God's house. The church is going to enter into its fullness. Ephesians 3:19-21. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, one of my favorite hymns that we sung this morning is Amazing Grace. I love that song because when you think about it, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I was a sinner doomed for an eternal hell, but God's amazing grace and love coming and dying on a cross and paying the price for my sins, that's amazing grace to me. He pulled me up from a miry pit and set me up on a rock and put a new song in my heart, even praises unto my God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the latter house will be greater than the former house. Haggai 2:9 says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Hallelujah. See, we're going to see the kind of church that is going to have fire. I'm excited. Can you imagine a room full of Christians that are totally excited about Jesus? Now, I'm not talking that you got to go out in the streets and dance around like an idiot. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having fire that when you leave, that you know the anointing of God is upon you. And wherever you go, God is going to bring people in your path or you into their path. And the power of God is going to begin to move. And you're going to be ready to give an answer when you hear things that are not true. And you see people that are destroying their lives, that you have Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost boldness, where you begin to speak the word of God into their life and watch the power of God move. Whew. They did it in the book of Acts. Great signs, great miracles were happening through the people. Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. God is going to be doing that. See, I would encourage anyone, do not play around with your walk with God. And take risk because the time is full. The time of fullness is upon us. We can't play around with our walk with the Lord. There's too many people playing around with their walk with the Lord, dabbling in here and dabbling in there and doing this and thinking it really doesn't matter because it isn't hurting anybody else. And it is, as well as yourself. And as I say that, people, I'm speaking because we have Facebook shining on us too. I'm speaking a little beyond this church. And we need to remember that. There is no more time to waste fooling around and taking our Christianity lightly. I just heard on Fox News this morning that persecution is becoming more and more regular in the United States, and it's going to increase. We're there. We're coming into that time. Are we ready when it comes? And it's happening right now. And this is the world telling us this. Daniel chapter 8, 23 and 24 says, "And in the latter time of their kingdom with the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people," speaking of Israel. "In the last days, the transgressors will have reached their fullness," and that's progressing forward, even as I stand here preaching this morning. "We are seeing wickedness come up on the face of the earth, and it is now at a point where they're so wicked that we are witnessing what we are witnessing in the world today is, in fact, a spiritual warfare, a battle that is raging between good and evil," amen, "for the souls of man." Look what we're facing today. As the acceptance of transgenderism, parents that are taking their little children and willing to have them change physically because they think they feel or think they're this or that, instead of training them in the Word of God. LGBT is on every news article in the world every single day, it seems like. They're pushing their agenda. Homosexuality is being forced and pushed upon our society. And we will be the hate people because we're going to stand true to the Word of God. Witchcraft, I preached on rebellion, abortions. Did you hear what happened in New York this week? Yes. Guess what? It's not stopping at New York. It's spreading to several other states, that same law. Human life has no value anymore. Wickedness is on the run, on the rise. Where is the church? Where is the body of Christ standing up? Occultism, New Age, lawlessness is on the increase. The acceptance of Christians and their message will decrease, and that's what we see happening right now. That's why they're coming to attack Christians right now, because Christians aren't where we belong. It happened to the Jews first. It happened to the Jews first, people. That's why, again, I keep repeating myself, I don't preach tiddlywink messages. I can't afford it because I see what's coming into the world, into our nation, into our communities. There will be a time, and it's going to get worse should Jesus tarry. It will get worse. Jesus said it himself. It's going to get darker and darker, worse and worse as we draw close. And I want us as a church to be prepared. And there's so much wickedness evident in our world today, man. Look what they did at the World Trade Center with abortion. What a mockery to God. Putting pink on the very... 3,000 of our fellow Americans killed in that area, and they build this world tower and point it toward the heavens, taller than any building, and put pink up there to celebrate, as you saw in the law, everybody standing up and clapping their hands and whistling and shouting and celebrating that we are going to kill babies right at the day of birth and even after they'll do it. They're celebrating. People are celebrating that. How wicked are we getting, people? What a mockery to God when we flaunt these sins before the world and we sit there and we wow. Do you see what I'm saying? We need a revival in the heart of God's people. Where is the church? Sin has become trendy. It's become trendy of today, and the simple laws of God, which are contained in the Ten Commandments, have long time since been ignored and forgotten. And that's why you see in many states they try to get rid of the Ten Commandments. Isn't that amazing how in the church is preached? Even one pastor not very long ago, a mega church pastor, said that, I think he said it this way, the Ten Commandments don't apply to Christians today. You can look it up on internet and you can read the whole article. A pastor in a church. And then you wonder why the world is getting so proud and boastful about sin and flaunting it before us when churches are starting to do what they're doing. God didn't get rid of the Ten Commandments. Jesus came and fulfilled the Ten Commandments. But they're still in effect. If the Ten Commandments don't apply, does that mean Christians go around killing people? We can dishonor our mothers and our fathers. We can go steal. They're still in effect, people. They're written in our hearts. God knows what he's doing. But that's where we're at in the world that we're living today. It's trendy today. Sin is trendy, and that's why they're boasting on television left and right. Every day you turn your TV on, and they're sitting there smiling and mocking Almighty God and coming after Christians. Look at Mrs. Pence. I mentioned that last week. They're still tearing her apart because she teaches art in a Christian school. They're coming. See, wickedness comes out of weak leadership in the world, and it comes out of weak leadership in the church, too. Where they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. Somebody might not like it. They're going to get angry. Weak leadership. Jesus said that he is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. And here's good news every time I'm preaching, even though I'm giving you some heavy stuff. I always got good news. Amen. I always do. Listen to this. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the only one you can put your faith and trust in today, people. Do you see how precious your salvation is in what Jesus did on the cross as we draw near to his coming? Do you see how precious your salvation is, what Jesus Christ did for you? Too many Christians have taken their salvation for granted. They don't even think about it. The joy is gone, the desire. It's just not there anymore. That's why they don't tell anybody else, because it's not with them. The fire is gone. They need to be ignited. And that's what we want to do with our youth at Crossfire. We want to keep the fires burning. We want them to have a fire in their heart that they'll be young matchsticks walking around, ready to give answer and to live for what they believe. They need to see the adults do it. Oh, they may get embarrassed. That's okay. That's okay. See, we cannot place our faith in men and women anymore, because the spirit of wickedness has come up on the earth and it is coming into its fullness. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I don't put my confidence in Donald Trump, nor any other president in the past. Those are simply tools that God puts in place to govern the world. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And this is a solemn warning to the modern church as it was to the ancient Jews. God curses not his blessings is on anyone who trusts in himself or other men rather than God. How many people say, I'm all right, I'm good to go, my faith is strong, I'm it, I've arrived, don't worry about me, I can sit at home, I don't need the church, I don't need anybody. No, God tells me in his word right here that he is the only one we're to trust in. I got an evil heart, I don't want to trust in me. There's nothing in there that I can trust in. But the things of God will also come to fullness. God's people will reach perfection and unity and fullness. Ephesians 4:13, again, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then in Ephesians 5:27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. See, people, right there alone, God is working in the world, even in the midst of the wickedness that's going on. Right now, he is preparing his church for a reunion, for a marriage of the supper of the Lamb. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Without spot or wrinkle. Christians say that, oh, I can live any way I want. I can live in sin. I can do whatever I want because Jesus died for all my sins, so I'm good to go. No, God says right here, for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, no sin will enter heaven. None. It's pure. It's holy. It's righteous. That's who God is. That's his character. That's who he is. He's holy. He's holy. So we are faced with an enormous choice. Either we're going to get on fire for our Lord and place our faith in and on the Lord Jesus Christ, or we are going to put our trust in the system, in the worldly system. And even today, there's people speaking that we need to be a one-world government in order, because people don't really know how to regulate their own lives. And they're trying to direct us to a one-world government system. Or even within our nation right now, Congress and both parties, they're smarter than us out here. Romans 1:1, I think it is. They think they're wise, but they become fools. 2 Peter 3:17-18, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever, and amen. That's why we need to draw close to Jesus. That's why I talk Jesus, I drink Jesus, I eat Jesus, I live my life Jesus. You got to. The world has nothing to offer, but Jesus does. The closer you get to him, the safer you are. And the wiser you are. Not in yourself, but in him. The Bible says that the righteous will become more righteous. How many want to be more righteous? Okay, there's a few hands that didn't go up. That scares me. Only when we say yes to things of God and no to the things of the devil can we become more righteous. Did you hear that? When we say no to the devil and yes to God, can we become more righteous and more like Jesus? So I pray for the generation that will be full with the fullness of Christ in these last days, that this will and is the generation. The fullness of Christ means being filled with God's Spirit, his power, and his anointing. We need the anointing of God. We need to wake up. We need to wake up, people. Boy, that guy, I tell you. We got to get a silencer on him. See, it means embracing Jesus, the source of our success and our blessings. And the oil of the Holy Spirit flows from the head, who is Jesus Christ himself. And it flows onto his body, you and I. Amen? So that it may come into perfection and in the image of Jesus. In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit in a new way. And it's going to fall on all flesh, it says. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. I tell you what, we need young people prophesying today. And God does have some young people out there that are on fire for God. I've listened to some of them, and it's encouraging. God has a church, people. I'm not negative one bit. God has got a church out there, and he's coming for it, and it's not going to have spot or wrinkle. It may not be as big as we think it's going to be, because narrow is the way. It's a very narrow path. But I tell you what, God has got a body of believers, of young people, old people, in-between people, whatever. Midlife people, they're there. And God is doing something in the world right now. He's doing something to bring the fullness of him into these people. And this generation could be that generation that will run with the fire of God and manifest everything that Jesus is. When wickedness encounters Christ's fullness in believers, it will have to flee. It'll have to flee. I look at those young people this past week on the news at the Covington School or Covington, Kentucky, whatever it is there from the school, how they were persecuting them already. I think they're a Catholic school, if I remember right. I'm not sure. But look what they came up against in the media. The things that they were trying to destroy these young people with, and found out it was all false. Those are attempts of the enemy to destroy righteousness in our country and destroy young people. When wickedness encounters Christ's fullness in believers, it will have to flee. See, God is about to raise up a revival generation. Now, I don't know if that revival is going to be universal and everywhere. I don't believe it is, according to how I believe the word of God is written here, because of what happens in the last days, great falling away and things like that. But I believe it can be a revival through areas of the world and areas of our nation and areas of our city, churches and people, individuals that are on fire for God. There will be a revival, and these people will walk in the fullness of Christ, and they will be proclaiming the word of God no matter what comes against them. There will be a fire so deep in, they'll burn with inside, and they'll stand in front of a wicked people, and they'll proclaim the word of God to them no matter what the consequences will be. And they will be relentless. Whew, praise God. Doesn't that make you want to go? Wow. Can you imagine us all doing step together, leaving Crossfire and walking down Coon Rapids Boulevard on both sides, praising God, and everybody who dares walk this way gets witnessed to? I'm dreaming while I'm standing here. I'm dreaming. Old men shall dream dreams. I want to give you a few examples here before I close. Think about Abel. Shows how to honor God with our giving. And these are people. I want to tell you individuals now. I'm not talking about whole churches. These are individual people, but I believe it's important that I tell you. Abel shows us how to honor God with our giving. Abel was the second generation. By the way, I want to say within Crossfire, thank God for the faithfulness of Crossfire Assembly people that attend this church with their finances. I thank God for that he's raised up a body of believers that know the importance of being faithful to God in their giving. That's why we're sitting in here and doing what we're doing around the world right now, what we're doing to start Ignite. That's because of the faithfulness of God's people. And thank God for that. Abel was the second generation after Adam. Abel was totally different from his brother Cain. Abel was birthed out of wickedness, disobedience, and failure. He did not have a great testimony about where he came from. Adam and Eve failed in their walk with God, and Cain and Abel had to face their legacy. However, Abel decided he was not going to follow anyone else but God. One man, Abel. The Bible says that he took the first fruit of all that he had and gave it to God. He was different from his brother. Two brothers from the same womb, but with two different attitudes. One wicked and the other righteous. Why? Think about that. Why? Because one chose to be on fire for God and the other chose to follow his own ways. See what happens when we follow our own ways? There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end there is destruction. And that is why we do not have an excuse about where we come from. No excuse where you come from. Well, I came from no excuse. Abel could have used one, but he didn't. He made a choice. He made a choice. And it's all about the choices we make. Abel decided to be different, and he was different. Now listen to Enoch here, shows us to walk with God. He walks with God. Enoch's life was consumed by walking with God. He gave God everything and God took him to heaven. And I believe there was things coming against Enoch too. But I believe he made decisions and choices to stay true to God in every area of his life. And God just took him off the earth. He may be one of those two witnesses, I don't know, that may be coming back shortly. Noah. We all know the story of Noah, don't we? Yes. Noah shows us how to gain God's favor. Noah was the only voice in a wicked world. Think that. One person in the world. One person. Think what you, as one person on your job, can be if you stand true to the word of God and don't falter and stand and be bold in the Holy Spirit. Noah. Noah is the only voice in the wicked world. The Bible tells us that the last days will be like the days of Noah, where wickedness is everywhere. We're here. Noah had to make a choice, either to go with the crowd or not to follow God. He had to make that choice personally. God saved only Noah's family, and everyone else were cut off from the face of the earth. And I'm sure he had pressure against him like you would not believe. But he stood true. One man against the world stood true to the word of God. And he found favor with God. He didn't falter. Who are you following, people? Who are you following? Are you following the people that you think may give you promotion at work or promotion in school or favor or good grade or whatever, or be nice to somebody to get something or whatever, or that they don't look at you? Who are you following? Noah followed God. One man. Don't follow people that don't love God. Don't follow people that don't love God. They'll lead you the wrong way. Follow the voices of God, even if it's out of step with everyone else. Sure, we all want to be loved and have friends, don't we? We all do. I've had a lot of lonely coffee break times. But I'm willing to do it because my love for God is greater than caring whether those people think I'm a Jesus freak or not. You stand for what you believe. Abraham, look at Abraham. And think of the pressure. Abraham and all these folks that I'm talking about, I'm sure have had sicknesses in their life and family problems and issues going on that could distract them away from God. But they stayed faithful to God. But Abraham again shows us how to tithe, to be righteous and to live by faith. Abraham honored God and God blessed him with material wealth. Abraham had faith in God and God gave him the earth as well as a future generations of believers who can live a full life like him. That's us. Then we have Jacob. Jacob shows us how to rely on God's strength because we are weak. Jacob did everything wrong and was always in trouble. God favored Jacob above his brother Esau because Jacob respected what he had and confessed his weaknesses to the Lord. We need to be open and honest about our weaknesses and ask God to help us. Amen? Amen. Jacob wrestled with God as he wrestled with his issues and God helped him. We need to depend upon God. We need to put our trust in God. We need to look to the Lord, not to the government, not to the banks, not to the doctors. Even though, thank God for those things God will use. But we always go to the Lord. I'm getting done with these. Moses shows us that God honors humility. God resists proud people because it implies that they can do things in their own strength and therefore do not need God. I need God, people. I need him, believe me. Moses was given a great kingdom assignment and he recognized he could not fulfill it with God's help. You read the story. He knew he needed God. He even needed God how to speak. He was a stutterer. He had problems. But God used this man. One man that stood against forces. Joshua shows us how to be a doer of God's word. And we can quote a lot of scripture, but God is not impressed how well we know the Bible. He's not impressed with that. He's only impressed by how well we do the Bible. He wants us to be doers of the word, as it says in the book of James. David shows us how to worship God. God loved David because he was driven by a desire to praise and to worship God. David, we find him always praising God in his life through the trials and the tribulations and through the sin in his life. He always continued to praise God, and his heart was in repentance. And through this, God showed David a dispensation of grace 1,000 of years before Jesus died on the cross. Solomon shows us to choose the correct priorities. Solomon had a choice. God gave him the opportunity to choose anything. Solomon chose God's wisdom. Can you believe that? I think about that. How many today, if God appeared and said, I'm going to give you anything you want. How many of you say, I want a nice home over in the Hawaiian Islands. With my own road. But see, Solomon didn't. Solomon chose God's wisdom. When we have a desire for spiritual gifts, God blesses us with finances and position and favor. It automatically comes as the Lord wills our needs. But see, we always got to keep in mind, everything in this world is temporal. Everything. It's all going to burn, every bit of it. Solomon was wise. He was wise. Elijah shows us the power of the words. When Elijah spoke by the power of God's anointing, things happened. He operated in the fullness of Christ. That's what you and I need to be living our lives now. God has given us a mouth that can create our world and our future with words, with words. We need to speak out. God doesn't have Secret Service agents. He said to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, making disciples. Elijah shows us the power of the supernatural. God has called us to perform supernatural miracles. God is a supernatural working God, amen? Amen. He's still doing it, people. There's things in your life sitting right here, right now, that I can almost say that God has done something supernatural that you'll never know until you get to heaven in your life. Because he's a supernatural working God. He never quits. He's supernatural working God. And scripture teaches us that we'll even do greater works. Not better than what Jesus said, but there's just more of us. Nehemiah shows us the power of compassion. When we function in the fullness of Christ, we will have compassion for those who are going to hell. Jesus looked at Jerusalem and wept. I saw a picture yesterday. Somebody put a picture out on Facebook, and it was a city in an image of Jesus laying across the whole top of the city weeping because he knew that that city was going to hell. And that's why he came and died upon Calvary's cross. When we have compassion for other people and we see they're going to hell, something needs to stir inside of us. We need to look at people and say, are they born again? If they're angry, why are they angry? Lord, let me speak to them. Get the fire going. Ignite fire in you. Daniel, two left. Daniel shows us to have passion for our nation. Even though Daniel was captured and taken out of his land, he never ever stopped loving his nation. Many of God's people have had to flee their country because of war and strife, but never stop praying for your nation, people. Don't ever do that. We need to be praying for America. Daniel never went back to his nation, but he never stopped praying for his nation. Never forget your roots. If you want God to see you in these last days, pray for your nation. We need to be praying for America and the leadership. Lastly, Jesus shows us the fullness of God in his power, his authority, his love, his rule, and his creation. Jesus is the yardstick and measure of where we should be going. He's the one we're to look to be filled with the fullness of Christ. We need to be filled with his Holy Spirit. A revivalist in the USA once said in a sermon, if all the sleeping folks will wake up, all lukewarm people will fire up. All the dishonest folks will confess up. All the disgruntled folks would cheer up. All the depressed folks would look up. And all the estranged folks would make up. And all the gossiping folks would shut up. And all the dry bones would shake up. Then we can have revival. Amen. I think I'm going to have that printed on the wall. Amen. In conclusion, amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 37, verses 1 through 7. Fret not thyself because evildoers. This is encouraging, people. I want to finish that with this. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Isn't that encouraging? We need to be looking to our Savior right now. And he's not shocked by anything. He knows what's going on. He prophesied it in his word. Let's all stand and I just want to ask a question again, and I think it's important. Are you born again? Are you born again? Are you born of the Spirit of God? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Separation from Almighty God to go into an eternal hell, never to be with Him ever again. And people, even if you've been in the church a long time and you're standing here, you've never really made that commitment. Maybe you need to today. Time is short. Things are happening. Hearts are getting harder. Did you know that? Even people in churches are getting harder toward Christians who are living the life out and saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. And they call them judgmental and critical and whatever. I've been called all that stuff. Still am, by the way, because I'm going to take a stand for the Word of God. And you're sitting here and say, I've never really committed my life to Christ. Is there anybody in here this morning? And you say, I need to get saved. I need to give my life to Jesus because I know the hour's late, but I need to because I know I'm a sinner. And if you're in here and you even said, yeah, oh, I thought I was a Christian, raise your hand. Don't care what people think. When I raised my hand when I was a young Christian, I didn't care what people thought. I only cared what Jesus thought. Is there anybody? Is there anybody in here that would agree with me that would say that I know the hour is late and I know that I've got to continue? And we've said this before. I know that I continue. Got to begin making choices that are going to help me to live a closer walk with the Lord. Just raise up your hand. Holy Spirit, just move upon the people. I've got to make decisions. I got to live my life a way that's going to be impacting people's lives. Lord, you see all these hands right now. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to move upon us. Lord, always to help us to know that you are a loving God. You're not a wrathful God that is looking to beat us over the head if we trip and fall and fall into sin, but you're waiting for us like a loving father saying, come back and I'll forgive you. That's the kind of God that we serve, a loving God, not a God that's angry, but a God who is full of mercy and grace. Lord, you are a God that warns your people. You warned us repeatedly all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation at the very end. Lord, you keep warning your people to get right with you, to repent. And Lord, I pray that your word today will touch our lives and challenge us and stay with us even this week, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll open doors and lives here to share the gospel with people, Lord. Bring them to the people or bring the people to take the people to the soul that needs to hear your word. Use us, Lord. Anoint us as a body of believers, Lord. Help us to be on fire for God. Ignite us. Bring revival to our hearts, Father. Even if we're by ourselves in our homes, Lord, let the Holy Spirit just move upon us and put fire in it. Let us dance before you. Let us sing before you. Let us praise before you, even in our cars or in the privacy where we're at. But Lord, if I'm standing in the middle of a Walmart, Father, with hundreds of people, let my heart be singing and rejoicing. And let me constantly be aware of those that are around me, that I am salt and I am light and I am the ambassador that you sent into Walmart. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your word. I thank you for Jesus, what he did on Calvary's cross, for nothing would be possible without Jesus and his resurrection, that we have a future and a hope. As your word says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you're our hope, Lord. And we give you all the praise. Touch every home. Bless every home, Lord. Meet the needs of the people, Lord. And help them to focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And if you want to come up to the front and pray, or you want prayer, I'll be up here for a little while too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Even though it's cold out, it's warm in here. All these warm hearts.